Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. No pressure. Well, it's wonderful, absolutely delightful to be with you all this morning. And it kind of feels a little bit like coming home because there's just such an incredible warmth that I find every time that I come to Real Life Church. And I just want to thank you for the way that you receive me, receive people. Right out the front this morning, there was somebody there to greet us and welcome us. And it's just so valuable what you bring, all of you. You bring this beautiful atmosphere, a warmth of God that you bring. So thank you so much for that. What I'd like to do right now, if you would join with me, I want to pray. Because what I'm believing for this morning is I'm believing that every heart is actually going to be touched. I'm believing that every heart is going to get that rhema word from God's heart to theirs so that they can launch into 2019 with an absolute confident assurance that God is with them. So will you join me as I pray? Father, I thank you this morning that you are with us every single step of the way. Father God, I just thank you for this company of magnificent people who love you with all of their hearts. And I pray, as I just share the word that you've given me, I just pray that every heart would just feel that you are speaking into their life, that there would be every concern that they have, you care about. And so, Lord, I just pray this morning that every heart would be touched, would be energized, would be encouraged as we just look at your word, at your promises, at your faithfulness this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, so delightful to see so many of you that I know, and lovely to just be able to share a word which actually the Lord gave me a few months ago, and it was while I was lecturing at Alpha Cruces Bible College, and it was Emmanuel, God is with us. And over the Christmas period, we find that we sing this song a lot. We sing, you know, the word Emmanuel is found in a lot of the carols. But what actually happened was that God sort of gave me an aha moment, a revelation about what it means to actually be able to confidently every day say that God is with us. That no matter what happens, no matter what comes our way, that he is with us in absolutely every season. So I just want to let you know that for those of you who may not have met me before, that I actually am at what was Life City Church is now Kingdom City Church in Canning Vale. And so I just, you know, come to you this morning with one desire, one prayer, is that every person here will leave with a confident assurance and knowing that you know that you know that whatever may come your way in 2019, that God, Emmanuel, God is with you. He is the beginning and the end. He is the eternal covenant maker. He is the redeemer. He is the first and the last. He is our advocate and our high priest. He who was and is to come is going to be with every single person in this room every single day, that he is your helper, that he is your strong tower, that he is your strength in times of trouble, and that he will never leave you nor forsake you, and that everything you need in 2019 for life and for godliness can be found in him this morning. Well, that's a good start. Well, what I've found as I listen and share with people each day in my church office is that while we know that God is with us, and we know the Bible promises that, so often when different circumstances come our way, when different trials come our way, when things that are unexpected come our way, one of the first things that we actually ask is this: does God see me? Does God know about my issue? And does he really care? And we know that the Word of God tells us that He cares so deeply for us that He actually knows the numbers of hair in our head. For some of us, there are more than others. We also know that the Word of God says that God actually cares even when a tiny sparrow falls to the ground. How much greater is His love and care towards His own children? And we also know that the Word of God says that even though a mother would forsake the child of her womb, I will not forsake you, says the Lord. Now, we know this, and I've just quoted it, and as I've said it, something resonates in you. Yes, I believe that. And yet, when those trials and those testings come, what we try and do is we try and write our own script in life. We sort of take matters into our own hands. I've got to fix this. I've got to actually work this through on my own. Now, one of the best examples that I can just talk to you about in my own life was when I was getting married to my husband, Rod, and I had a diary and I brought it along. This was my diary last year, but it was actually very similar to the one I had when I was getting married. Have a look how big and thick it is and whatever. This was my diary when I was getting married. Now, what you've got to understand is that I had been to a lot of weddings. And I had seen every colour and every which way, every sort of different, reception centre, every different minister that did the ceremonies. And I'd been to a lot of weddings. And I'd also seen a lot of things that went wrong at weddings. And I'm sure you have too. And so what I had decided was that I was going to have a foolproof wedding. And it was all due to this book. Yeah? And I was going to be so organized, right down to the very last detail, that my wedding would run like clockwork. And nothing could go wrong because I had this big black diary full of strategic plans and organization. And I was just going to have this wedding that was so smooth, so trouble-free, that it was going to be noteworthy. And so the day came. Now, this is the wedding that nothing can go wrong at. But let me tell you how, even though I was incredibly organized in my preparation for this important day, there were unforeseen disasters that happened that in my worst nightmare I could never have seen coming. One of them was that my future husband, Rod, went to pick up the flowers for the bridesmaids and my bouquet somewhere down in Rockingham, and he was bringing them to our house in Bayswater where my parents lived. And he arrives and his brother borrowed his brother's station wagon to accommodate the flowers, but he can't get in. They're all locked in and he can't get in. So for the next 2 hours in my driveway, while I'm looking out thinking, oh my goodness, you know that whole thing about not being seeing the groom before you get married, forget that, because he's in my driveway and he's trying to prise open this station wagon to get the bouquets out of the boot. And so that was the beginning of many things that happened on that day. The next thing that happened, oh, that's right, and then he was so late that he almost missed the wedding. Because he was so, by the time he got back to Leeming, got dressed, came back to Mount Lawley, and you can imagine. Okay, so that was number one. Second one was that I had, ordered a limousine to go to my wedding in this beautiful limousine. Limousines are quite common these days, but they weren't then, and so it was quite special to have this limousine. Unfortunately, the limousine company that we had chosen was having trouble with their engine in their limousine, and the limousine was running very, very late. Not only that, when I actually finally got into the limousine on my way to the wedding, the limousine kept breaking down. And at one point, just a little bit up the road from Hyde Park AOG, where I was getting married, some of you will remember it, it was so bad and I was so stressed from the limousine breaking down that I almost got out and walked to my own wedding. Wow. So that were just two. There were many, many, many more that I could actually tell you about that occurred on that same day. But what happened was I realised that even though I had planned that day with so much precision, that my wedding day is actually a reflection of all of our lives. We have dreams. We have assumptions. My life is going to look like this. Anybody identify with that this morning? My life is going to, you know, the white picket fence and the, you know, whatever it is, you know, the four children and the whole thing. And that's the sort of things that we have, don't we, that we think this is how my life is going to look. And we see our life playing out in almost like a prescribed way. But it's unexpected curveballs that come our way that start this doubting. Does God see me? Does God know me? Does he really care about my life? And so this morning I want to suggest to you some of the reasons, and there are many, that we can find ourselves doubting God. So if you're a note taker, then what I'd love you to do is get your notepad out, because this is really important, the next little bit of what I'm about to share. So the first reason that I'd like to suggest that we find ourselves doubting God is we compartmentalize God. Initially, when we give our hearts to Jesus and we commit to him, we commit all of our aspects of our life to the Lord. But then, as circumstances unfold and things can become difficult, we easily slip back into our default position where we compartmentalize areas of our life. So it looks like this. We try and control our own finances. When relationship issues occur and we try to fix them in our own strength. When our health deteriorates and we believe the lesser truth, it's still truth, but what the doctor's report is, but the greater truth is what God says about us. And God's greater truth, which is that he is indeed our healer. So instead of going to our default position of putting God in our religious box, we need to make God our go-to for every part of our life. The Word of God says, I've already quoted it, I'm going to say it again because it's just so important. Everything we need for life and godliness can be found in him. It's not just about the God box. It's about every compartment of your life, every compartment of my life that he wants to be a part of. He wants to be involved in. He wants to work on our behalf. He wants to intercede and he wants to go in and advocate in our world, in our situations. He wants to be a part of and give us his wisdom on how to navigate all the aspects that come across in our world. A lot of them can be curveballs, unexpected. So compartmentalizing God. Number two is we want to be in control. Who's brave enough this morning to actually be honest enough to put their hand up and say, actually, I'm a bit of a control freak, Bethan? Yeah. Please don't. Let's see some men put their hands up too. Yeah, and don't look at anybody when we're talking about this. Okay. And so you want to drive your own world. You want to call all the shots. You want to make all the decisions. And then what we kind of do is we glance heavenwards. And almost like a second thought, oh, that's right. Hey, Lord, will you bless it? But what we really should be doing is, God, are you in this situation in the first place? Yeah? It shouldn't be something that we think about, oh, we need to include God in this. We need to make God a part of our decision. Yeah? So there is this part of us that wants to love and trust God, but there's this other part of us, our own humanity, that actually says, I want to live life on my own terms. Yeah, I want to do it my way. I've actually told my husband that when he passes away, I'm going to put on his, you know, on the, what do you call the headstone, I did it my way. Yeah? No, truly, I am. And so Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, a lot of us, when we give our lives to Jesus, we want God to be the author of our lives. Yeah? We want him to be the Lord of our lives. But then we take control back of our lives and we want to be the finisher. And what the Spirit of God is saying to you this morning, real life, is this. Will you let me finish the good work I started in you? Yeah, will you let me finish it? You know I'm the author, but would you allow me to finish that good work that I started when you gave your life to me? Amen? So at the beginning of 2018, last year, I had some health issues. I went to the doctor and I was told that I might have cancer and have to undergo an exploratory operation where they went in and took a nodule out of my lungs. Now, when I went to my doctor, my sister Carrie, who's with me today, she insisted that she come with me for moral support. I said, no, I'm fine, I can do this. Look, I'll just find out the news and then we'll go from there. No, I'm coming with you. So she's the older sister, so she gets to be the boss. So as we sat together in that chair and the doctor shared with me about the diagnosis that I had these nodules on my lung and that I could have secondary cancer, which meant there was primary cancer in other parts of my body. You know those terrible diagnoses from the doctors. And so I'm sort of sitting there absolutely, you know, blown away in shock as you are. And my sister Kerry is also in shock. But she asked the doctor this question. She says, Doctor, what are the odds for Bethwyn? And the doctor says, 70% cancer, 30% another disease called sarcoidosis, a lung condition. Now, it's sort of kind of bad enough, isn't it, when you hear, you know, you could have cancer. Then you hear the odds 70-30, which becomes scary, yeah? And so at that moment, Kerry asked the doctor this question. Doctor, I'm just wondering if we could negotiate those odds. Could we make them 50-50? And you see, we were in a situation where we were actually completely out of control. We had been given information that we couldn't change. And what we were actually doing, what Kerry was doing, was she was asking the doctor if she could negotiate the odds, because it was in that moment we felt completely out of control. I want to try and grab back control of my health, yeah? And it, as lovely as it was that Kerry wanted to negotiate the odds, I realised at that moment that all I could do was free fall into the arms of an eternal covenant-making God who was indeed not just the author of my life, but the finisher of my life, however that played out, however that was going to look. Easy to say now, isn't it? Easy in 2019 for me to say that, but at the time, it's just like a knife that hits you, isn't it? For those of you who have experienced. Thankfully, and I can't express my thanks to the Lord. It wasn't cancer. And so I'm so grateful for that. So this leads me to the third C. So we've had compartmentalizing God. We've had controlling God. But the third thing is so important to grasp this morning. It's about the fact that we are in covenant with God. When we gave our lives to Jesus, we said the sinner's prayer, said that we wanted God to be the Lord of our lives. We entered into an eternal, unbreakable blood covenant. It is a blood covenant that God actually entered into with himself to save mankind through sending Jesus once and for all to shed his blood to make eternal atonement and to pay the price for our sin once and for all. Now, a blood covenant is sort of kind oldie-worldy. We don't talk about covenants a lot, do we? We don't sort of, it's not a term that we use a lot. And particularly a blood covenant. But a blood covenant between two parties is the closest, the most enduring, the most solemn, and the most sacred of all contracts. So if you want to try and visualize a contract, of any contract that you could ever enter into, this one is the closest that two parties can actually come into covenant or into contract with. And what we do when we accept Jesus is we put off our old nature and we put on the nature of the one who we have entered into an everlasting contract with, which is Jesus, our Saviour and our Redeemer. Now, having realised the magnitude of who we are in covenant with, how God has eternally committed himself to us, then we ask ourselves this question again. Does he see me? Yes. He sees us because he doesn't stand apart and aloof from us in our trials. He is right there with us. Does he know you? Yes. He completely knows you. He understands you because he made you. And not only that, he understands our limitations. He understands the frailty and the weakness of our humanity. He is sympathetic to our struggles. Amen? He knows your heart. He knows my heart because he actually knows our makeup. He knows the design. Yeah? And so he was actually there when we were formed in our mother's womb. So we can come to him without pretense. We can absolutely, just exactly as we are, be our total self. We don't have to put on some holy religious form when we come to our loving God. We can be completely, warts and all, ourselves. He's not surprised by that. He's not overwhelmed by that because he actually understands us better than we know ourselves. Even though he knows the worst of us, we are still, warts and all, the object of his love and his affection and his attention. So his thoughts about us, the Word of God says, actually outnumber the sands on the seashore. That's how much he thinks about you and he thinks about me. Isn't that great? Doesn't that just build this incredible confidence to know that right now your God is thinking about you, that he delights in you, that he doesn't see all of the things you're not, but he celebrates all of the things that you are. So the last question is, does he care about me? Yes, he does, because he's perfectly righteous. So we can trust him implicitly to always do the right thing by us. So you've heard all of these things that I'm saying this morning, and I know that there some of the things I'm saying going, yes, Bethman, I believe that. And yet, having heard what I've just shared, we still often on a daily basis doubt that God in fact does see, know and care about us. We compartmentalize him. We try and take back control of our lives and we forget that we have entered into an everlasting, unbreakable, eternal covenant with our Creator God. And so I want to come back to the cry of my heart and my prayer for Real Life Church in 2019 on the first Sunday, is that you would leave here today with an unwavering confidence that God is with you, that God is indeed your Emmanuel. In every season, in the most difficult of circumstances, everything and every day, in all your relationships, He wants to help, to guide, and to counsel. Yeah? He is that friend that sticks closer than a brother. So we've identified the problem. But what I want to focus on now is that we have acknowledged why we doubt God, but now what we want to do is we want to get on the solution side. Yes? It's easy to identify the problem, but this morning what I want to do, what I want to leave inside each one of you is a solution, a suggestion of how to actually move forward to approach 2009. I want to build that faith and expectancy within you to know that whatever comes your way, God's got this. Yeah? He's got your back. That's what I want you to leave here with this morning. So, what can each one of you do? What can I do this morning, right now, at the beginning of 2019, to position ourselves to live with a confident assurance on a daily basis, not just on a Sunday, that God is with us? Number one, the first thing we can do is pray without ceasing. Who gets overwhelmed by that? Who thinks, pray without ceasing? How the heck am I going to do that? But let's have a little bit of a closer look at what it means. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So what does it mean to pray without ceasing? It means our purpose is to make prayer our number one go-to in our everyday life. And going to God in prayer needs to trump over our friends, any books, any popular opinions, any spouses. Our first inclination, our go-to, is God in prayer. Does it have to be lengthy and long? No, it doesn't. Getting everybody's opinion on the matter. Sometimes we go to everybody else, don't we? And we ask what they think about it. Good, godly people. And there's nothing wrong with that. But the one who knows us, who knows our situation the best, is God our Father. And so what we need to do in 2019 is try this. All through your ordinary day, in moments that you're probably not even aware of, access God's wisdom and help. Psalm 46:1 says, "God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble." And sometimes what we do, we have this perception that we should only go to God for the big ticket items. Yeah? He's like the big ticket guy that we go to in absolute dire straits. Yeah? But what I want to suggest to you this morning is this, is that He wants to be involved in your everyday. We can ask for His wisdom in both the small and the great. And, you know, because I do pastoral care at the church I'm at, I see a lot of people who suffer from anxiety. May I suggest to you this morning that why there has been such a rise is because so often we go to so many other sources, but we don't access the great peace giver, the Lord Jesus Christ. Fix your eyes firmly on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We so often get turned off the idea of praying without ceasing because we think it involves long, long, lengthy, non-stop praying. But that is actually not what it means when it says without ceasing. It actually, yes, there's times for prayer. There's times for intercession. There's time for lengthy prayer. But Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me. That's instant. Call unto me. You can do that right now. And I will answer thee and show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. He is simply just a call away. Run into his arms, lean into him all through your day. When you're in the car, when you're hanging out the washing, when you're walking through Perth on your way to work in the city. Proverbs 18:10-11 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run in and they are safe. So, number one, pray without ceasing. Number two, the second thing we can do is to live with the Holy Spirit every day. And the ability to live the Christian life is impossible outside the work of the Holy Spirit. All we're doing without the Holy Spirit is we're desperately trying to be good. Yeah? To be holy. But without accessing the ability that God has given us to do that, without accessing His Spirit, who is specifically designed to be our ability, to partner with us on earth through every circumstance, we are weak, but He is strong. He is all wisdom. Yeah? Let's acknowledge our own humanity and wrap ourselves, cling tight, lean in to God's greater truth this morning. Let's wrap ourselves around it. Over the Christmas holidays, you know, you sort of have a little bit of time to unwind and relax. And Rod and I were watching some of the Thor movies. Anybody ever seen the Thor movies with Chris Hemsworth? Oh, I'm feeling very young here. Only young people are watching these. Okay. And for those of you who have seen Chris Hemsworth, who plays the part of Thor, it is impossible not to notice that this man has produced the most incredible, strong and muscular physique. So many things I could say about that, but let's continue to be holy. And in the same way, what I noticed about, when Rod and I were chatting about this guy, Chris Hemsworth, he plays Thor, we were both saying to each other, imagine the amount of hours this guy has to work out. And we were trying to figure out what he would actually need to do to have got himself into such great condition that he had muscles on his muscles on his muscles. How did he do this? And in the same way, for us to have strength in our faith, we too need to build ourselves up. Yeah? One of the ways to do this is to actually speak in tongues. Now, the reason that I'm suggesting to you this morning is that, you know, speaking in tongues is a gift that God has given us through the Holy Spirit. And when we first get filled with the Holy Spirit, we can actually be speaking in tongues a lot. But like all things in life, we can actually become familiar. We can think, oh, I don't really need to do that today. But can I encourage you in 2019 to make this a year when you embrace the gift of tongues? Because it will build up your faith, it will build up your confidence, and it helps us to have a way for our spirits to express unexplained things to God, things that are beyond us. When we speak in tongues, we can express our lack of understanding to God, and He actually can download some understanding in areas of our life. Praying in tongues allows you to speak directly to God. It allows your mind to get out of the way. Yeah? Because how often does our mind get in the way when we're praying? When we're praying in English and we get distracted. But it allows our minds to get out of the way so that our spirits can commune with God. Speaking in tongues allows us, when we are beyond ourselves, when we have a situation that is so perplexing, so complex, that we actually are at a loss to know what to do, we can come to God through speaking in tongues, and you can trust your spirit to pray the perfect will of God regarding your situation. When it's kind of like beyond you. Yeah? So embrace the Holy Spirit. Relish the strength that it adds to your life. And as you do that, as you make it, yeah, actually, I'm just going to, you know, I'm on my way to work. I'm just going to speak in tongues. I'm just going to spend some time speaking in tongues. Cars are a great place for speaking in tongues. And what I find is that as I do that, it's just like everything, you know, something will happen or someone will come along and God will help me with the thing that I've been concerned about. I don't know what I was praying, but God knows exactly what I need. And he knows exactly what you need too. Hebrews 10:35 says, "So do not throw away your confidence. It holds a great reward. You need to persevere so that after you have done God's will, you will receive what he has promised." Number three. The third thing we can do this year is to keep a soft heart. Do not allow bitterness and the disappointments of this very short time here on earth to cause you to continually doubt God. You know, for all of those things that have happened in your life that have caused you confusion, that have caused you disappointment, bring them to the Father today and leave them with him. Because so much of our thought life can be consumed with regret. Sort of like kicking ourselves and going, I wish I'd done it differently. I wish I hadn't made that decision. I wish I'd listened to God back then. I wish. And so we can actually park in a place of regret. We can park in a place of disappointment. But what the Father is saying to you today is leave your disappointments here. Leave your disappointments here. Don't park in bitterness and discouragement. Don't live there, but trust your covenant-keeping God to be faithful to all of his promises. Some of you have things that you feel God has promised you, but you haven't seen them yet. But whatever you do, don't ever give up. Because God's ways are not our ways, and his time is different to us. And it's not as though God has forgotten. Some of you feel this morning like God has forgotten you. But he sees you, he knows you, and he cares about you. Lamentations 3:22 to 23. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Just over 4 years ago, my very dear close friend who lives in the UK, her name is Miriam, lost her husband of 30 years to a terrible cancerous tumour down the side, all down his neck. I went 4 years ago to be with them, just to help her and just to be a support. And it was the most incredibly heartbreaking thing for me to witness, that this very handsome, tall, outstanding Christian man would be struck down with such a terrible, terrible condition. Several weeks later, after I had returned home, he was 53 years of age and he died and went to be with the Lord. Now, his name was David, and Miriam and David were totally committed Christians who had served the Lord faithfully and were believing God for a miracle healing for Dave. They were a very close married couple they were one of those couples that did everything together. They cleaned together, they shopped together, they everything together, yeah? And so I knew that my friend Miriam was I didn't know how she was going to cope with the loss of her friend, not just her husband, but her close friend. And in June last year, 4 years after his death, I went back to Wigan, where she lives, and I spent time with her. I actually took her to Ireland as a gift to her for her 60th birthday. But what I saw and experienced was a woman who had been through a terrible season of grief. She had had her own experience with terrible health, and she'd also had some very serious trials within her own family. She had every reason, when you looked at it, to be disappointed, to be disillusioned in her faith, to be full of bitterness and anger about the hand that she had been dealt in this life. But what I found was a woman who was the complete opposite. I found a woman who was walking closely with God, leaning into him for all of her daily needs and expectant that God had a good future in store for her, whatever that may hold. Even though what she assumed, just like I did on my wedding day, that everything would go right, everything hadn't gone right. But she still had an expectancy that her covenant-keeping God would be faithful to her, whatever that would hold. I saw a woman who had turned her own life around to embrace being a widow, who was so strong in her faith that she found the ability and the strength to be a support worker. And her job, she got paid to do, was to go in to terminally ill people into their homes and to support them and their families. And as I was there with her, she was currently going into a lady who had a brain tumour, and she was going in and she was cheering her on and she was taking her out and making her laugh and just being such an incredible help and support to her. And I was so inspired because I saw that she had made a choice to respond in her circumstance. She'd run into the arms of a loving God to provide all that she needed for life and godliness. How she actually found the strength to serve joyfully in the children's ministry in her local church and involved herself in the vision of that house. How she let her light in her community shine so brightly that people were drawn to her because they saw this light that she had within her. Miriam was acutely aware that God saw her, he knows her, and he cares about her, that in all things she is more than a conqueror through him who loved us, that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate her from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, her Lord. Amen? When I was praying about speaking here today, Fritz, how am I going with the time? Is it okay? When I was praying about, I like this man. When I was praying about speaking, I should have asked my daughter actually, am I doing okay with my time? She's more honest. I didn't mean that badly. So you're too kind is what I meant. Okay, when I was praying about speaking here today, I really felt like the Lord actually gave me a word for Real Life Church. And it was just one single word, and the word was awaken. Awaken. That's right. And I believe this morning prophetically that what God is saying to you as a church and as individuals in this community is that he wants to awaken in you in 2019 all of those dreams, all of those promises, all of those gifts, all of those God-given abilities in you. And what he wants to do is he wants you to put aside discouragement and disappointment. And the Lord is asking you today to awaken those things that you have put aside. Some of you have thrown away your confidence. You've got discouraged along the way. Yeah? But What's happened is, as you've thrown away your confidence, there's doubts and fears have crept in. Some of you are saying to me this morning inside, it's too late, Bethwyn. I've left it too long. Some of you this morning feel disqualified. You feel like you've stuffed up so badly and that you've failed so badly that God's disqualified you. But He wants to give you opportunity, opportunity and more opportunity. What He wants you to do and what He's asking of you this morning is that there are things that have been lying dormant in you, and He wants you to stand up. He wants you to put your head up high, hold your head up high. He wants you to dust yourself off from those things in life that have wearied you. And He wants you to stand up and remind yourself who you belong to. Who you are in covenant with this morning, Real Life Church. He wants you to remind yourself that no weapon formed against you can prosper. And, you know, it's not, when I say awaken, it's not as though, it's not meant in any way as a criticism from the heart of God. What He's saying to you is, I designed you for greatness. I created you with unique purpose. And He wants to call that out of you in 2019. Real Life, there are some of you sitting there that God has so much on you. There's so much anointing for greatness. And I just want to encourage you in the heart of God, the Spirit of God this morning is saying to you, awaken. He wants to take those dry bones and He wants them to live again. He wants to take those things that have wearied you and disappointed you, and He wants them to live. He wants faith and hope to arise in your heart, to believe for the miraculous, to believe for the impossible. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that you could ever imagine or even think. Here's the clause. According to according to His Spirit that is within you. Yeah? He wants to do that work in you. He wants the Spirit of God in you to arise and there to be a lightness in your spirit. Yeah? Not a weight of heaviness. But He wants to put a garment of praise where there's been heaviness. He wants to lighten the load for you in 2019. He wants to restore the joy of your first salvation. Yeah? Remember when you first gave your heart to Jesus, the lightness, the joy that you felt? Well, the heart of God is saying to you this morning, I want to restore that to you. I want people to walk into Real Life Church and just be completely blown away by the joy. Yeah? So what I'd love you to do is I'd love you to close your eyes and bow your heads. There may be people here this morning that you don't know Jesus personally. But you've heard about just a little bit this morning of what it looks like to enter a relationship with a loving God. And what I want to do is I want to extend an invitation today for you to respond by putting up your hand to accept God into your heart and your life. And so what I'd love you to do is if you are somebody here, maybe you've been invited by a relative, by a friend, and you've never really heard much about God before, but something inside of you is actually responding to what I've said this morning. That's actually the love of God touching your heart. So if you would like to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior this morning, just pop your hand up right where you are. Fantastic. Thank you. I see that hand. That's wonderful. Is there anybody else here this morning who would like to say, I want to make Jesus my Lord and my Saviour. I want to take Him into my life. Yeah, thank you. I see that hand as well. That's wonderful. All right, well, what I want you to do right now, Real Life Church, is please stand. We're going to say a prayer together. And if you were a person who raised your hand, I'm going to invite everybody here this morning to say this prayer together. And we're going to invite Jesus into our hearts today. So repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I invite you into my heart. I want to accept you as my personal Lord and Savior. Please forgive me of all my sins and help me to commence a new life with you. Fantastic. Wonderful. Can we just give a huge round of encouragement to those people that have responded this morning?